Welcome back to Tuesdays with Tim, the podcast that touches on all things related to brain injuries among children and those impacted by my son, Luke. This morning's guest is Michelle Frazier. Michelle, thank you so much for joining us.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me, Tim. I'm happy to be here.
Michelle, if you don't mind, before we get started on your journey and what has transpired with your daughter, fill us in a little bit, your family, where you live.
Yeah, absolutely. So we are in a suburb right outside of Dallas, Texas. We're in Plano, and I've been married for 24 years to Jason, and we have two children. We have Jace, who's 23, and Jafe, who is 19. And that's our backstory. We're both Jason and I are both really pretty much originally from Texas. Where he was born in Oklahoma, and I was in Kentucky, but we got here as fast as we could.
Well, I feel like I need to start on Thanksgiving 2016 when you were driving on Thanksgiving Day with your family. If you could take me back.
Yeah. So Thanksgiving Day, we have a tradition in our family, and we've done it since the kids were really young. Jason sits on the board of the SM Wright Foundation here in Dallas. It's a organization that was created by People's Missionary Baptist Church, and so one of their big events for the year is they feed the homeless on Thanksgiving Day. And so we've gone down to People's Missionary Baptist Church to do that every year for as long as I can remember. And so we had done that on Thanksgiving morning, 2016. We had the two, our whole family, plus JFA had one little girlfriend with her. We were driving back from that event to go do Thanksgiving with our families. And we were just passing American Airlines Center in Dallas on 35. And we were rear-ended, really big impact, obviously. And so in that collision, there were five people in the car. Four of us walked away pretty much unscathed. My husband had a concussion, but what happened is the front driver's side seat back gave way, and it did what's called yielding, which, excuse me, they used to build seats in this way. We've since had that safety standard changed, but they would do what's called yielding backwards. And the idea is that it would save the driver from whiplash. But what happens in that kind of accident in a sedan is that the driver's seat collapses backward and really encroaches upon the backseat passenger's headspace. And so you can imagine the driver is falling backwards, and the passenger is lurching forward, and so there's just there's an impact. So JFA, we either think she hit the seat back or she hit Jason's head, and her skull fractured 360 degrees all the way around. We believe, and we were told that we kind of lost her on the side of the road there. We thankfully had really quick medical attention, took her straight to Children's Medical Center Dallas, which was happily 5 minutes away, and they performed an amazing trauma triage on her and saved her life. And we were then about six months inpatient after her injury, with all totaled in about a month and some change in ICU, then into the neurofloor at Children's, and then on to inpatient rehab. So she has global brain damage. We were told at the time that she probably would, well, it's interesting, and I'm sure Tim, you can relate to this, but the doctors really don't know with pediatrics what the forecast will be. So we had one doctor who sort of forecasted and hoped that someday she would know who we were, which is very grim. And then we had another one who was a little more seasoned and said, kids always surprise me. They always do more than you think they will. Their brains are very, they're still developing, and they have the advantage of neuroplasticity. So we have seen amazing strides from her, and yeah, that's kind of the backstory.
Now, Michelle, how old was Jay Faye at the time of the accident?
She was 12.
So here we are now, 7.5 years later, and you
Yeah.
touched on some progress. So at the time, of course, it was touch and go. And now 7.5 years later, if you can let us know, A, the therapies that she's been doing and some of the progress that you've seen.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting because I go back, Tim, and I look at pictures of her and when we first brought her home. And I think, gosh, I want to say for maybe at least a year post-accident, she was just very, the only way I can describe it is really kind of vacant looking. Just, I don't know. I mean, I think she was kind of in another world, honestly, you know, just not. And so then as time went on and her brain healed and or is continuing to heal really, but she just was more and more aware. You could just see, you know, sort of the light in her eyes come back and the, you know, the she was very aware of what was her surroundings of what was going on. She gets she now is does school. So she we were fortunate enough to have a teacher who had done a lot of private tutoring. She had tutored families and traveled with them, and she's a close friend and she's our neighbor. And when we pulled JFay out of public school, she said, "I would really like to just be her private tutor." And so JFay does about 4 hours of school every day. She graduated from high school and is doing, you know, her college. Of course, all of this is very tailored to her. You know, it's not a traditional
Sure.
college scenario, but she does that. She does PT, OT, speech therapy. Really, the therapies are focusing on, you know, just doing more of the little things. And in brain injury, it's like every little thing is a big milestone, and just moving the mouse is big for her. You know, just moving the computer mouse with her hand, and you know, there's just such a brain body disconnect that I feel like if we could imagine like you know, those old computer boards where or maybe I don't know where you're just plugging little things in and starting the board starts to light up here and there, and so it's like I feel like all of that got shut off. And as we go through the days and months and years post-accident, it's like we'll see a little light up here. We'll see a little light up there. You know, she's able to track better with her eyes. She's able to attend for longer periods of time. She's, you know, she communicates really mostly through eye blinks. Long blink for yes, you know, shorter for no. And she is very expressive on her face. So, you know, and it's interesting because over time we've learned to kind of read JFay because she is nonverbal as of today. We're still hopeful that we, you know, we get that back at some point, but you know, we know that she really understands and comprehends everything. You know, we'll tell stories about silly things that happened when she was young, and she laughs and smiles and she remembers. So it's just a it's an interesting place to be where when it, you know, a person is locked in like that, where she just, you know, she knows things, but she can't necessarily communicate those things in a traditional way.
Right. I certainly can relate. You know, people have always asked me, you know, what therapy helped Luke the most? And my answer was, I don't know. All of them did. But what I actually believe, even more so than therapies that helped Luke, was the love from his family, from me, from Jenny, from his sisters and his friends. And so
For
when
sure.
I hear this about Jay Faye, I know how you and Jason are as parents and how involved you are and the team that you have around her. And so there's no question that her improvement and her expressions are there because she feels the love from her mom and dad.
Oh, well, I appreciate that, and I know you are so devoted to sweet Luke and certainly his memory as well. And you know, I feel like honestly, people people are like, oh my gosh, you know, how did you do that? I mean, we now have quite a bit of help with JFAY in terms of nursing and, you know, help that we didn't have initially. But I'm like, you know, I feel like she's doing the hard part. We can do the easy part. That's just coming alongside of her. She's having to get up and do the therapies and push herself. And, you know, and I know Luke was this way too. They're just sort of fierce. And I'm blown away by how she continues to just be self-motivated, you know, to work so hard in her therapies. And it is the person that she was and still is showing up. She was a state champion gymnast, she was just hardcore athlete. And I'm thankful because that's kind of what she brings to every day. But, you know, back around to your point is, I'm with you. I don't know exactly what therapy is the most effective, but I do know just having people believe in her has been huge.
Well, I think you're absolutely right that because of her background as a gymnast, she was tough. She was a fighter. And I feel like that was also Luke as an athlete. And there's no question that those attributes have contributed to the improvement, without a doubt. No question about that. You know, I've often thought about Luke's accident and the fact that this happened to us after just resigning at Texas Tech, and but I never asked the question why. And today, I come back to the fact that Luke's legacy is alive and well because I'm keeping his legacy alive. And there are good things that have happened because of his accident. We are helping families all over the country. And in your case, good has also happened because of JFAY's accident. Can you share that?
Yeah, absolutely. And I just want to congratulate you on everything that you've done. And you are keeping Luke's memory and his legacy alive and well. And I think it's amazing what you guys are doing. And I know we're just really in awe of and inspired by you. And so, you know, to your question, I don't know if we ever gonna have the answer as to why, right? You know, you're gonna kind of struggle with that one, but good has come from JFAY's accident as well. You know, one of the things that we learned when we were inpatient was that we were not the only people that this particular accident, in the way that it happened and in the sedan, we weren't the only ones who were affected by this. We met another family who both of their kids had had head injuries due to this front seats collapsing back into the headspace of the rear passenger. And Jason just sort of, my husband just kind of got mission driven. He's like, this is wrong. This should not be happening. Like, this is a flaw. This is a design flaw. And so he kind of went on a hunt for, like, how can we do something about this? And we got connected with the Center for Auto Safety, and we realized that this was a very real, legitimate and far-reaching problem that affected many families. I mean, there were 60 Minutes did a little piece on it, you know, on this exact way that this car accident happened, and the fact that seats had not been these standards for seat back safety had not been updated since the 1970s, which is ridiculous. And you know, the strength of a seat car back was basically the same as a banquet chair in any, you know, hotel. It wasn't any stronger than that in terms of what could happen to a seat in a car accident. And so we got, like I said, connected with them. We spoke to senators. We did a lot of sort of press, as much as, you know, anybody who would talk to us. We would get on a radio show, we would go on a TV show, whatever we could do to sort of get this out there and to encourage the legislature to actually pass this act that would increase the standards and make this seat make every sedan and every car safer for the children and the people who are riding in the back seat. You know, personally, I tell people, do not put your child behind you in your car. Just don't do it. Put them in the middle, you know, buy a bigger car, do whatever you have to do to not have this happen, because you know, we didn't set out on Thanksgiving Day having any clue that anything like this could even be a possibility. We were in a safe vehicle, what we felt was a safe vehicle. We paid a lot of money for it. We just thought, you just sort of think, okay, we're fine. So anyway, we were able to be a small piece. Obviously there was other families involved and other people involved and senators who came alongside, but we did get that act passed. And moving forward, there will be safer seat backs in every sedan, thankfully. And so we're really blessed by that. JFA's name is included in the actual bill, and as well as many other children who are either suffering still with their injury or they have passed. And so we're very honored that we were able to use what happened to her and make something really great. We see her do great things all the time, but it's nice that her legacy extends out past these walls. And I really believe there was a calling when she was born on her life, and you might feel that same way about Luke, but I was like, this is part of it.
Well, I think you said it perfectly. There is a calling, and I think that you and Jason have blessed so many in the efforts. And I know it was a lot of work doing this while also trying to take care of Jay Faye, and it's just remarkable what you both have done. And speaking of remarkable, you have a typical week of taking care of Jay Faye and running a household, and I'm sure you're exhausted by the end of the week. And then every Monday, you have Facebook Live, Miracle Monday, and you're the most positive, upbeat person. And I know you and I have talked many times about how challenging things can be at the same time if we're not positive and have a positive frame of mind and outlook, then we're not going to be as successful as parents. And so I remember in Fort Worth, doing therapy alongside you guys, and you were always so upbeat. Tell me about Miracle Monday and those that follow you every Monday night.
Oh, well, thank you for mentioning that. Really, this has been an evolution, the little Miracle Monday that I do. Initially, when we were inpatient in Children's Medical Center, I had done some sort of online stuff, just going through books with people and having little book clubs, and so I was kind of familiar with the Facebook, that kind of way to reach people or reach out and connect with people, the Facebook Live. And so when we were inpatient, it really just was like, gosh, I can't call. I'm sure you felt this way too. You can't call and text everybody back. You're exhausted. You don't want to talk to anybody really. And so Facebook Live just became a way that I could go online when I was at Children's and just kind of update people in a sort of a group effort way. And then when we came home, I just sort of started doing a weekly thing. And initially it was just really about Jay Faye and what was going on with her and updates. And then it's kind of evolved, I guess, over time where I feel like this is a giant sort of classroom for me experiment here. And as we go along, as we go along this journey with JFA, I learn things and I feel like God reveals different things to me along this path. And so on Monday nights, I really just try to pick out maybe one thing during the week, one aha that I think might be, it certainly has been meaningful to me during that week, and maybe it'll be meaningful to somebody else. Because I think, and I'm sure you felt this, Tim, that people will say to you, they're like, oh, I have this going on, but it's nothing like what you are experiencing. It's can't even touch that. And I'm like, no, it can, because here's the thing. Everybody has the same emotions. Our details of our valley or whatever it is that we're going through, they differ. But if you've got a loved one that's struggling with Alzheimer's and you're the caregiver, you know me, you feel me, I feel you. We know, we feel the same feelings of fear and depression and anxiety, and all of those are very real. And so for Monday nights, I just, I feel like there's a way to maybe share that with people in a really authentic way. I mean, I try, I do try to lean more toward the positive because I think it's really valuable for anybody. But I'm also try to be really candid and transparent when I'm hurting, and or else I feel, that like what to do next, that confusion and all of that. So maybe that is helpful to people too, to know that, hey, I'm not alone in this. Somebody else feels the same way I do.
Well, I think you're right. It's helpful regardless of whether your child has a brain injury or just someone going through life. And so Miracle Monday is 9 p.m. On Facebook, and I would love to everyone that's listening to today, please go there and you'll be inspired for sure. And March is Brain Injury Awareness Month, and so we are promoting that through Team Luke Hope for Minds. And it is a special month that that I hope everyone will pay attention to the month of March. We all talk about October and breast cancer awareness and the pink and Brain Injury Awareness Month is something that's really important. And so we are promoting that all over Lubbock, Texas, and all over the country. And so I want to thank you for what you do for JFAY, your family, Miracle Monday, and for the safety in cars. And so there's just you are one remarkable woman, and I just want to thank you for all that you do and look forward to keeping in touch.
Thank you, Tim. I so appreciate that. And I appreciate you so much and all the work that you're doing. Thanks for having me today.
Thank you. Take care, Michelle. Take care.
Okay. Bye.